Today, Shir's Masechet Bava Metzi on Daf Lamed Hey. We will begin on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom of the Amud, in the middle of the line with the words Ella Amar Shmuel. We are in the middle of a Shakla V'Tarya in the Gemara, which began with a statement of Rav Huna and a mission in Shavuos on Daf Mem Gimel. Let us review it quickly so that we can get back into the sugya and find out what Shmuel is coming to explain. In the middle of the Amid, on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, Rav Huna made a statement. Amar Rav Huna, Mashbiyin Oisai Shvua She'ena Bershusai. Rav Huna is referring back to our Mishnah at the beginning of Perek HaMafkin on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, where we learned that a Shomer Chinam is able to swear that Loi Pashaba and V'Loi Sholach Ba Yad. However, he also can pay if he does not want to swear. What happens if he paid and he did not want to swear? The Mishnah told us that im nimtza ganav misham tashlum kefel, that if the ganav is found, then he has to pay kefel not to the owner of the pekadon, but rather to the shomer, because by the shomer paying, the baal is makna the kefel to the shomer, and the ganav now has to pay it to the shomer. However, says Rav Huna, on this halach of the Mishnah, that the shomer has to still make a shvua that it's not bershusai. What is the reason, said Rav Huna? Chayshinin shema ein of nasimba. We are afraid that ein echanami, this person paid, and he's nizer in lo signov, the shomer is. However, he might not be nizer in lo sachmod. He thinks if he pays, then there's nothing wrong with keeping the item that belongs to the mafkid. And therefore, he has to make the shvua that it is in fact not bershusai. On this halacha of Rav Huna, the Gemara wants to ask a question from the Mishnah in Shvuas on Daf Mem Gimel. The Mishnah there had a resha and a seifa. And the Reisha had two cases, and the Seifa had two cases. So what we have, and which the Gemara will refer to subsequently, is in the Reisha, we have a Reisha Dereisha and a Seifa Dereisha. And there we are speaking about a Malve who lent a loan on the basis of a Mashkin, of a security. And the loan, and the security, the Mashkin, got lost. And the malva is toveya from the lova, as we'll soon see the exact case. So there is a resha deresha and a seifa deresha. Then we have two cases in the seifa of that Mishnah. We have a resha de seifa and a seifa de seifa. And there it is not speaking about the malva who's toveya from the lova, but rather the opposite. It's the lova being toveya from the malva. Now let us see what these four cases are. So the first case, the resha of the resha, was hamalvas chaver al hamashkin va'aved hamashkin. The mashkin got lost. So the malva says to the loiva that I lent you on the basis of this security a sela, which is worth 4 dinarim or 2 shkolim. A shekel is a half a sela. So I lent you a sela based on the security. It got lost. So I am chayiv, as Rashi pointed out, that a malva l'mashkin has a halacha. When he has the mashkin, he's considered a shomer sachar. So I'm chayiv for gneva v'aveda, but it was only worth a shekel. And therefore, you the lova owe me the other shekel. V'halo omar, and the lova responds to the malva and says, loiki elasalavi sani alav sala hayishava. It was worth exactly the amount that you lent to me. So he's a kaifer akol. So the Mishnah stated that he is potter from making any shvuah. However, if now comes the Seifa Dereisha, if it's Sela Hilvi Sichol of the Malva says Shekel HaYeshava, but Vahalom or the Loiva responds Loike El Sela Hilvi Sichol of Shloisha Dinarim HaYeshava, he says it was worth 3 dinarim. It was not worth a full Sela. I owe you, I might have been mixes that I owe you 1 dinar. You want from me a Shekel which is worth 2 dinarim. And I'm Moda, that it was only worth 3 denarim, and since I borrowed from you 4 denarim, I owe you 1 dinar. I'm a motor b'miksa. So there the din is, chayiv, that he's chayiv a shvua. Then comes the 2 cases of the seifa, where the lova is teveya from the malva. Selva hilvisani alav beis ha-yeshava v'aloyer meloy kele selva v'sicha alav sela ha-yeshava. So now the loiva says to the malva, based on this security, you lent me 2 sloim. You lent me 1 sela, but the mashkin was worth 2 sloim. So it comes out now that you lost it, and you're considered a shomer socher, that you're chayiv for gnev aveda, you owe me 1 sela. And the malva responds to the tvi of the lova, and he says, no. I lent you a sela, and that's exactly what the mashkin was worth. So we're even. So since he's a kaifer akoil, now the malva is potter from a shvua. However, in the seifa, the 4th and final case, sela hivisani lov shnayim ayeshava, this is what the loiva says to the malva, it was worth 2, and you lost it, I owed you 1, so now you owe me 1. Vahalomer, and the malva responds, loikele sela hivisichal of heidinar ayeshava. You're right that the mashkin was worth more than what I lent you, but I lent you a sela, and this was not worth 2 sloim, as you claim. It was worth 1 dinar more than what I lent you. It was worth 5 dinarim. So I owe you 1 dinar. So what am I? I'm a mota b'miktzas. You want from me 1 sela, which is 4 dinarim, and I'm admitting that it was worth 5 dinarim, which means that I owe you 1 dinar because you've already received from me a sela, which is worth 4 dinarim. So I owe you 1. I might have been mixed. So the din is chayiv. Here again, there's a chayiv shvua, as we had in the Sefer Derasha. There was a chayiv shvua, because here I'm not a kaifer akol. Here I am. I might have been mixed. Then the Mishnah over there in Shuas concludes, mi nishma, who swears? Mi shapakot natzlei, the malva, who has the mashkin, and he became a shomer socher on this mashkin, he has to swear. What's the reason that the malva has to swear? Shema yishav azeh, if the loiva would swear, v'yotzei aloha sapakotin, the malva would say, ah, here is the pakotin, I really have it, and you're swearing falsely. And we have here a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that you would be making, the malva would be making the loiva puzzle for any future shvuas or edus, and we want to protect the loiva from this happening. So therefore, the loiva is not the one who swears, but rather we give the shvua to the malva. On this, the Rabbeinu Tam in the bottom Tosfos, Divrei Maaseh Shema, asked the question, the chol shchein sheyishav aloive, shehu yidaktik yoyisu lishav be'emes, kidei shelo yivsu leto malva, v'chi avdinin takana l'ramoi. So Tosfos asked a very strong question on Rashi. What are we so worried about the loive that he's going to be exposed as a cheater? Let him be exposed. Let him be afraid that he's going to be exposed, and there, this will be a protection to make sure that if he swears, he will swear truthfully. So how could Rashi says we're worried about him becoming puzzle through the malva suddenly producing the pekodin? Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam likes the pshat of Rabbeinu Chananel, that if the malva could expose the loiva, it looks like it's a shvul of atola. At any moment when the loiva says that what it was worth, the malva could show the item and expose the loiva. So it's gnai, says Tosfos, lishava hech shadavim is bar achrikein, shahamalva yoitzi esapakodin. So we only give the shvua on the malva because he won't swear unless he, in fact, does not have it anymore. So this is the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. But now the Gemara wants to know this halacha, that instead of the loiva swearing, the malva swears, what is that last halacha of the Mishnah going on? Ahai, ilei ma'aseifa, if it's going on the seifa, v'tepik leidu shvua gavi malva hi, doha kamayda b'miktzataina. The seifa, both the ratio of the seifa and the seifa we're speaking about, where the loiva was teveya from the malva. So the malva is the mayda b'miktza, so he has to swear. It's not that the loiva swears and we bring the shvua of the loiva onto the malva. So that can't be what the last halach of the Mishnah is going on. And now we come to where our sugya begins in today's shir. Ella Omar Shmuel, again, we are 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud in the middle of the line. Ella Omar Shmuel, you know where this last halach of the Mishnah that the Malva swears instead of the Loiva, you know what's going on? It's going on the Reisha. And the Reisha was a case where the Malva is Taveya from the Loiva. And it, instead of the Loiva swearing, the Malva swears. Now, as the Gemara, Maya Reisha. What do you mean on the Reisha? Do you mean the Reisha, the very first case? That can't be, because the Reisha, the Malva is Taveya, that it was worth a Selah, that I lent you a Selah, but the Mashkin was only worth a shekel, so you owe me a shekel. And he responds, no, it was worth a Selah. He's a Kaifra Koil, he's Potter from a Shua, there's no Shua at all. Ella says the Gemara, a Sefer the Reisha. It's speaking about the second case of the Mishnah, which is the end of the Reisha, the Sefer of the Reisha. And what was that case? Selah Hilvisicha Olav. I lent you, based on this security, this mashkin, a Selah. But Shekel HaYeshav, it was really not worth a Selah, it was only worth a Shekel. V'halo Aymer, and the Loiva responds, Loiki, Ella Selah V'sani Olav, based on this mashkin, I was able to borrow from you a Selah, but you know how much it was really worth? Shloisha Dinarim HaYeshav. It was worth 3 dinarin. So you're telling me it was worth a Shekel, which is 2 dinarin. And I'm admitting to you that it was worth 3 dinarim, and I owe you 1 dinar. So what am I? I'm a moed of a mixus, because you want 2 dinarim from me, and I'm moed that I owe you 1. So chayiv, then there is a chiyiv, dishvua gabi loivahu. So that, because dishvua is the loivah shvua, because he's being a moed of a mixus, to the tvia of the malviv. Amar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, Lishtave malva. In this case, we take the shua from the loiva and we give it to the malva. Why? Because Shema Yishava Zeh, because maybe the loiva will swear, V'yotzi Allah sapikotin, and the malva will take out the pikotin, and he will show that the loiva is not saying the truth, and he will passel him for Edis and Shvua, and we don't want to do that. So Rashi says 2 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Umishum Tikkun Olam, Shla Yifsil Yisrael, Shaklu L'Shvua Minei, V'Shadu Yu Amalva. We took the Shvua from the Loiva and we give it to the Malva. In other words, instead of the Loiva swearing that it was worth it was worth 3 dinarim, and therefore he will be putter from paying the extra dinner that the malva wants, he'll only have to pay 1 dinner. The malva wants 2 dinarim. The loiva will swear that it was worth 3 and he'll only have to pay 1. We're afraid that the malva is going to take it out and expose the loiva that it was really worth only 2. So therefore, what do? We give the shvua to the malva, and then the malva will swear that it was only worth 2 and the loiva owes me another 2. Instead of only owing me 1, he owes me 2. So the malva, through his shvua, will take from the loiva. Instead of the loiva swearing and being free from 1 dinner and only having to pay 1 dinner, the malva will swear and he will take both dinarim that he is claiming from the loiva. So now we have finally a pshat in the Mishnah. And now, based on this pshat in the Mishnah, we come to question Rav Huna's halacha. Rav Huna again told us in the middle of the Amud that whenever you have a shomer who says that it was stolen, so we make him swear a shvua she'ein b'reshusoi. Here comes the question on Rav Huna from this Mishnah in Shavuos. Ve'im isa l'ha'alit Rav Huna. If you're going to hold like Rav Huna, kivin the mishtave malva she'ein b'reshusoi. Once the malva swears that it's ani b'shusi, according to what Rav Huna said, that he, being considered a shomer of this pekodin, he's considered a shomer socher, and he is going to have to swear that it's ani b'shusi. So hechi matzi mapiklo. What are you telling me? That really the loivas might have been mixas, but we don't want the malva to make him into a liar and pasul him from shvuas and edus. So mivnei tikkun olam, we take the shvua from the loiva and give it to the malva. Because we're afraid the Malva is going to expose the Loiva. How could the Malva expose the Loiva if, according to Rav Huna, the Malva has a Chiyuv Shvuah to say it's Ainer B'Shusay? If you just swore you don't have it, so what are we afraid? That the Malva is going to produce the Pekodin and show that the Loiva is a liar. Amar Rabbi Yosef, according to the Gears of the Bach, it's speaking about Sheyesh Edim Shenisra. The Malva does not have to swear Sheyesh Ainer B'Shusay because we already have Edim that say that it was burned. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi. If you have Edom that was burned, so Mehechem Aisila. So again, what are you afraid that the Loiva will swear and the Malva will produce it? If you have Edom that was burned, they saw that the Mashkin was burnt. So there's nothing to worry about. Elam Rabbi Yosef, he gives a different teretz. Sheyesh Edom Shenignevo, that there were Edom that was stolen. If there's Edom that was stolen, the Malva does not have to make a shvua of Ainer B'Shusay. Really, Rav Huna is correct that the Shomer, in this case being the Malva, would always have to make a shvua of Ainer B'Shusay. But here, the Edom said it was stolen, and therefore, there's no need for him to make a shvua of Ainer B'Shusay. Ask the Gemara, if so, soif, bottom line, Mehechim Aislo, we still have the same question that we had concerning the Edom that said that it was Nisrifa. If there's Edom that said it was Nigdiva, from where is the Malva going to produce it? It was Nigdivas. So leave the Shua by the Loiva. There's nothing to worry about the Malva exposing the Loiva as a liar. The Gemara answers the Torah Maisi law. As Rashi explains, he will check all the people that came in and out of his house when he had the Mashkin, and eventually, through a lot of effort, he will find who the Ganav is. That's what we're afraid of. And again, we have to worry that it'll expose the Loiva. Ihachi, Kimishtave, Malva, now that you took the Shua from the Loiva and you gave it to the Malva, so Nami Litrich Loiva Laisi, why aren't we afraid that the Loiva will make a lot of effort and find out who the Ganav is and produce the Pekodin and show that the Malva is not saying the truth as far as the worth of this item? So the Gemara says, no, we only have to worry about that by the Malva producing it and not the Loiva. Why? Bishlema Malva Yodaman Ka'alva Nafik Bebesi. He knows who comes in and out of his house. Va'azil V'tarchel Maisila. So he'll go to the effort and he'll figure out who came into his house while he had the Mashkin, and eventually he'll find who the Ganav is. Ela Loiva Mi Yodaman Ka'alva Nafik Bebesi the Malva. How does he know who came in day and night into the house of the Malva? He has no way of knowing that. And therefore, he's going to give up. He's not going to try to find out who stole it from the Malva. So that's why, if the Malva makes the Shvua and takes, instead of the Loiva making the Shvua and freeing himself, it's a better system, because we're not worried that the Loiva will expose the Malva, but we are worried if the Loiva were to swear that the Malva would expose the Loiva by finding the Ganav. This is the teretz that Rabbi Yosef gives. Abai gives a different teretz. Gzeira, we're afraid. Shema yita in v'yoymeloi acher shvu mitzasiya. Maybe the Malva will say that I found it after I swore. At the time that I swore, Ainer B'Shusay, that I don't have it. Rav Huna is correct. You have to swear Ainer B'Shusay. You swear Ainer B'Shusay, why can't the Shua stay by the Loiva? We have nothing to worry about that the Malva will produce it. No, we do have to worry about the Malva producing it, because he'll say that after the Shua, I found it. It was lost. I misplaced it during the Shua. After the Shua, I found it. The Shita Mekubetzes brings from the Ritva to explain the Havamin and the Maskana of the Gemara. The Havamin thought that even if he would find it, he would be embarrassed to produce it, because it looks like when he swore Ainer B'Shusay, he was lying. The Maskana of the Gemara is that if, in fact, this is true, that after he swore he would find it, he would not be embarrassed to say, when I swore, it was definitely not in my Rishus. I wasn't aware of it. And later, I found it. The third teretz of the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar, you're making a mistake in your understanding of the Mishnah. You understood the last clause of the Mishnah. Mi nishba, mi shapakodin etzlai, who swears? The one who has the pakodin, the Malva, and not the Loiva, because the Chachamim, mipnei tikkun olam, took the Shua away from the Loiva and gave it to the Malva. That's not pshat in the Mishnah, says Rav Ashi. It's not that the Loiva doesn't swear. The Loiva does swear. Rav Ashi Omar, Zeh Nishba v'Zeh Nishba. They both swear. The Malva swears She'ena B'Shusay. The Loiva swears his Moide B'Miktsas. He has to swear that in fact it was only, it was worth three dinorim, and not two dinorim, like the Malva says. Except then the Mishnah, the Gemara now, according to Rav Asher, continues. Zen nishba, the Malva swears she'ena b'shusai, as Rav Huna said. V'zen the loiva nishba kama hayeshava, how much it was worth. V'hachi kama, this is what the Mishnah meant at the end of the Mishnah in Shavuos. Mi nishba tchila, not that the Rabbanan took the shua away from the loiva and gave it to the Malva, and the loiva doesn't swear at all. No, the loiva has to swear how much it was worth. He was might have been mixus, he's the one who has to swear. The Mishnah means, who of the two people, the Malva and the loiva, each with their own respective shvuas, who has to swear first? Oh, you know who has to swear first? Malva nishba tchila. The Malva has to swear first, that ain't a b'shusay. Why? Because Shema Yishava. If I make the loiva swear how much it was worth, that it was worth three dinorim and not two dinorim like the Malva claims, maybe the Yotzi Allah, it's a pekod, maybe then the Malva will take out the pekod. However, if the Malva swears first, ain't a b'shusi, I don't have it, we're not worried that he's going to take it out. So first make sure that the Malva swears it's not in his b'shus. Then we have nothing to worry about if the loiva swears second how much it was worth. We're not afraid that the Malva would expose the loiva as being a liar because the Malva himself just swore that he doesn't have it. So this is a whole new pshat in the Mishnah, and it takes away the kasha against Rav Huna. Rav Huna is correct that the shomer has to swear that ain't a b'shusay. Continues the Gemara. Rav Huna bar Tachlifa b'shmei de Rav Amar. Rav Huna bar Tachlifa said in the name of Rava, Reisha de Seifa to Yuftal Rav Huna. As we mentioned before at the beginning of this year, there are four cases in the Mishnah. We have the Reisha to Reisha and the Reisha to Seifa. And over there, we are speaking about where the Malva is Tovea. Then we have the Reisha to Seifa, and the Seifa to Seifa, and there the Loive is Toiveya from the Malve, says Rav Huna bar Tachlifa, in the name of Rava, that from the third case of our Mishnah, which we call the Reisha of the Seifa, we will have a kasha on Rav Huna's halacha that we've been discussing throughout this year. Why? What did the Reisha of the Seifa say? What was the case? Sela, he'll be sounding a love, shtayim or yeshava. The Loive will say to the Malva, I borrowed from you a Sela. Based on this security. But how much was this mashkin, this security worth? It was actually worth two sloy. So now that you lost it, you owe me one sela. V'haloimer, and the Malva says, likey, that's not true. El sela v'sicha lov sela yeshava. I lent you a sela, and the mashkin was worth a sela, so we're even. So the din is that the Malva doesn't have to swear potter. Why? Because he's kai for our coil. The im isla Rav Huna, if Rav Huna is correct that there is such a shu as ani b'shusa, which the Malva will have to make. So I have a question. Why is the Malva potter from swearing how much it was worth, that it was worth only a sela, not two slum, as the loiva claims? I should make the Malva swear that it was only worth a sela. Why? On what basis? I is kai for our coil. Because we have a halacha, which we find in Kedushin of Chav Zayin Mebeis, a din d'oraisa of Gilgul Shvua. Gilgul Shvua means that once you have to make a Shvua, once the Torah was mechayev you on one inyan to make a Shvua, even if on the other claim you were potter, but once you're swearing anyway, for the first issue, we already roll on top of we superimpose on the first issue, which you were chayav shvuan, we will superimpose the second issue, which you were putter. We're already going to roll one on top of the other. Migui de mishtave malva she'ene b'shusoy. According to Rav Huna, the malva de shomer has to swear it's ene b'shusoy. Lishtave nami a gilgul shvua. We learn out from Saita that there is such a concept with the rice of a gilgul shvua. So once you have that concept of the rice of Gilgul Shvua, we should be Megalgul on top of the Shvua of Einer B'Shusay, the second Shvua of Kama HaYeshava. You're a Kai for a Kol. You say it was worth a Sela and you lent the Loiva Sela, and you're a Kai for a Kol, you're Potter. But once, if a coin to Ravun, if he's correct that you have to make a Shvua Shainer B'Shusay, make a Gilgul Shvua and now be Mechayev, even though he's a Kai for a Kol. Amar Rav Ashi, to answer this question, Rav Ashi said, Amritu L'Shmaitz Kamed Rav Kana. I said this halach in front of Kana, and this kasha that we just asked, Amrali, and he answered, to hey, bimaminoi, make the case speaking about where the loiva believes the malva, And he says, I trust him when he says that it's not in his rishus. I don't want to make him make a shua. I know he's a trustworthy person. So there is normally, avada rifun is right, you have to make a shua and a rishusai. Here it's speaking about where he trusts him and there is no shua. Ask the Gemara, v'nehemne loivele malve nami baha kama yeshava. We had in the Seifa, of the Seifa, we had that if the Malviz might have been mixed to the Loiva, then the Malva has to swear. If the Loiva trusts the Malva so much that he doesn't make him a Shua of Einar B'Shusai, so why does the Malva have to swear might have been mixed us? He should trust them, Kama Yeshava. You say that it's Selah V'Sicha and Selah Yeshava, that you don't owe me anything. I trust you. Why on that don't I trust you? The Gemara answers like Kim Le'Begavei, as Rashi explains, the Loiva believes that the Malva, who just got this Mashkin, was not some lave to evaluate exactly how much it's worth. The Loiva knows how much it's worth. He's had this Mashkin for a long time. He's inspected it. However, the Malva didn't take the time and didn't have it for so long to appreciate how much it's worth. And on that, I trust him, but I think on that, he didn't have the ability to assess its proper value. Ask the Gemara, if so, v'nehem the Malva l'loiva, the kim le'begavei. Why do we have a din that the loiva is be'etzem chayiv eshuav might have been mikzas, when the Malva is toiver from the loiva, which is the reisha part of the Mishnah in the Sefer, the reisha we had, that the loiva is chayiv eshuav? We had a question whether we made a tikkun oilam, we took the shua from the loiva and gave it to the Malva, or whether we had one teretz that said, no, the loiva swears, but he swears after the Malva swears shani b'shusai. But if we're speaking about trust, so just like the loiva trusts the Malva on ani b'shusai, the Malva should trust the loiva, and the loiva in fact knows how much the mashkin is worth. So why does the loiva have to swear a shua to the Malva? Of might have been mikzas, he should be trusted by the Malva. So the Gemara answers, Loi mehem in lei. The Malva does not trust the Loiva. Ask the Gemara, Umayshno Loiva the mehem in lei la Malva, Umayshno Malva, the Loi mehem in lei la Loiva. What's going on here? Two people are making a transaction, a halvo, one to the other. We would think that each one trusts the other. If you find that the Loiva believes the Malva when he said it's Einar B'Shus, he doesn't make him swear, so why doesn't the Malva trust the Loiva? The Loiva had this Mashkin for so long, he knows exactly what it's worth. The Gemara answers, Loiva, Mekayim Bebe Malva, Tumas Yishorim Tanchin. Both of the Malva and the Loiva have a Pasuk in Mishle, which they apply to their unique situation. The Loiva feels that the Malva, who Hashem blessed with Ashiras, as Rashi explains, it must be because Tumas Yishorim, the perfection of the straight people, Tanchem will lead them to Ashiras. The Rebbein Shem blessed him with Ashiras because he's an honest person. If he wasn't honest, the Rebbein Shem would not have given him Ashiras. So him I have to trust when he says it's Ainer B'Shusa. I'm not making him swear. But Malva, Mekayim Beba Loiva, the Malva holds that if the Loiva is poor, it must be because of the other Pasuk in Mishlei, V'selev Boigdim, Yeshadim, the perverseness of the traitors, the Rabbinish Loilam will bring them to destruction, they will lose all their money. That's why you're poor, because you're not trustworthy. So the Loiva, in fact, trusts the Malva, and that's why the Malva is not swearing Shana B'Shusa, there is no Gilgul Shua, whereas the Malva does not trust the Loiva when he is might have been Mixas, and the Loiva, in fact, will have on him a Chiyuv Shvua.
Continues the Gemara with a story, how who gavra there was this person, the Afgid Kipi Gabe Chavre, that he put some earrings by his friend, that his friend should be a shomer on these earrings. And after some time, he came to the shomer, Amarlei, and the mafkid said to him, Havli, the Bach says the next word is kipoi, give me back my earrings, Amarlei. So the shomer said to the mafkid, Lo yadana hecha usvinu, I don't know where I put them, where I placed them. Also, they come to Rav Nachman, so they came in front of Rav Nachman. Omar Le, Rav Nachman said to the Shomer, Kol lo yadano. Whenever the Shomer says, I don't know, Pshiyusahi, it's considered a Pshiya. It's negligence. You have to know where it is put. Zil Shlim, go and pay. The Rishonim speak out that the ribui here, the addition of the word kol lo yadana, is coming to include that even if the shomer says, I don't know where it is, but I do know, I do remember that I put it in a very safe place, doesn't matter, it's still considered a pshia, and he has to pay because the shomer has to be available whenever the mafkid wants to have that item returned to him. He has to know precisely where it is in order to be able to immediately return it. And if he's unable to do that, he has to pay because it's considered a pshia. And so paskins the mechaber in Chayshur Mishpat Siman Reish Sadik Aleph Seif Zayin. And the mechaber adds that even if the shomer tells the mafkid, give me a little time so I could search around and try to find it, we do not give him that extra time, and he must pay immediately. And the Vilner Gaon and the Bir Agra tells us what is the source for the Mechaber's Psak from the words that Rav Nachman used in our story right here. Because Rav Nachman emphatically told him, Zil Shlim. He didn't give him any extra time. He said to him, go and pay immediately. Continues the Gemara with the story. Loi shilam, he did not pay. Ozlo Rav Nachman, he defied Bezdin and he didn't pay. So Rav Nachman went. Agbe la padne mine, he took his mansion, he took his house away from him. Lusoif, at the end, ishtachach kipi viyakar. The shomer eventually did find the earrings, and meanwhile they had become worth more in value. In fact, they were worth more than the house that Rav Nachman had taken away from the shomer to give to the mafkid. Amar Rav Nachman, when this happened, Rav Nachman said, Hadri kipu l'marayu, the shomer should now give back the earrings to the owner, the hadra padno l'mora, and now we also return the house, the mansion, to its owner, which is the shomer. Amar Rava said, Rava, have you seen the Kamei Rav Nachman? I was sitting in front of Rav Nachman when he rendered this psak. Upirkin da mafkid hava. And we were oisik, as Rashi says, in learning perik hamafkid, as we are doing at this moment. That's what Rava was doing together with Rav Nachman. Va'amri lei, and I said to Rav Nachman, I asked him a question from our Mishnah on daf lamed gimel lamed beis. She limulei ratzli shava, if the shomer chinam decided to pay instead of swearing, so the din is if the ganav is found, the kefil goes to the shomer. So you see that by paying, he merited to receive the additional increase of the kefil. So what Rav was trying to ask here also, since the shomer paid the mafkid with the apadne, with the mansion, now the kippi became worth more. Why doesn't the shomer keep the kippi, and thereby he would get the extra value that the kippi is now worth? V'loya hadruli. And Rav Nachman did not respond to Rava's question. Says Rava, v'shaper avid loya hadruli. It was very good that Rav Nachman didn't answer my question. My time. And what's the reason? Because there is a difference. Hasam loya trichula beidina. In our Mishnah, the shomer wasn't matriach the bezdin. The mafkid didn't have to force him. The shomer willingly paid on his own. And Mimela, the mafkid, said that because of that, I'm going to be makna to you, my zechus in getting the kefil, if the ganav is eventually found. And therefore, when he was found, the kefil goes to the shomer. But hocha, in the story that just happened now with Rav Nachman, atrichela beidina, he did force the Bezdin. The Bezdin had to get involved. The Bezdin had to come down and take away the property from the shomer and give it to the mafkid. So in such a case, the mafkid is not makna to the shomer the extra value that the kippi are now worth. And B'emes, the Rajba, the Ritva, the Maram Shif, the Rabbi Kiveger, all the Rishayim and Achroinim here ask that this Gemara is a Pella. And they are busy trying to understand this Gemara because the Tzushtel, what was Rav's Havimina to ask a question on Rav Nachman's Psak from our Mishnah? There's no comparison. In our Mishnah, the Shomer is not trying to get out of his responsibility. He's saying, I don't want to swear, immediately I'm going to pay. Where? So of course he gets the kefil. However, in the case, in the story with Rav Nachman and the Kippi, over there, the Shomer said, Lo Yadanu, I don't know where it is. What was the Shomer trying to do? He was trying to absolve himself of the responsibility of paying back to the Mafkid. And Rav Nachman had to tell him that Kol Lo Yadanu is a Pshiusahi. That your Taina of Lo Yadanu, I don't know, we cannot accept that. That's a Pshia and you have to pay. So because of the Psak Bezdin, that's why he finally had to pay. And even then he didn't want to pay and they had to come and take the Apatne away from him. So of course, in such an instance, the Mafkid is not Makna him the extra value of the Kippi. What is the comparison to our Mishnah? In these Rishonim and Achronim concerning this problem here in the Sugya. Continues the Gemara, Lameimra, should we say, based on this Psak, the Sofer of Nachman, Rav Nachman holds, the Shuma Hadar, that in the case, as Rashi explains, of a Loiv and a Malva. The Malva comes to collect his Choy from the Loiv, and the loive doesn't have anything to pay. So Bezdin, the word Shuma, means they appraise it, they assess it. And in our case, it also means, besides the assessment, it means the actual seizure that they will take away, like we had in the story. They'll take his mansion of the Shomer away from him to pay it to the Mafkid. So in the case of a loive, if he has nothing to pay, Bezdin will assess the value of his property and seize it and give it to the Malva. But what about if later the Loiva says to the Malva, I have money, I can pay you now. Should we learn from the Psak of Rav Nachman that Shuma's Hadr, and that's why eventually in our story where the Kippi were found, Rav Nachman paskin that the house should go back to the Shomer, he can get his house back. So maybe in the case of the Loiva and the Malva, the Loiva will be able to get his possession back as well once he comes up with the cash. The Gemara says it's no proof. Really, I could always tell you that Shuma Loihader, that once Bezdin seizes property on behalf of the Malva, the Loiv is not able to pay and get his property back. But Shiny Hossam, it's different over there in the case of Rav Nachman with the Kippi. The Shuma B'tos Havid, there it was a seizure based on a mistake. The Kohavi Kippi Mikora, because at the time when Bezdin, when Rav Nachman took away his Apadne, his mansion, the fact is that he actually had the Kippi. He just forgot where it was and later he found it. So it was really, the Bezdin should not have retroactively, there was no need for the Bezdin to make the seizure. So in that case, Rav Nachman says, it's Hadre. But in a case where, in fact, at the time when the Malva came to collect his debt, the Loiva had nothing, and there was a legitimate seizure, not based on any mistake, maybe Eina Chanami, there we'll say that Shuma is Loi Hadar. Amri Nardoi, Nardoi said, Shuma Hadar, they paskin that Shuma is Hadar, Atresi Achishati, he has 12 months in order to pay the Malva, and then he will get back his property. V'omra Meimer, and Meimer said, Ano ami Nardo, Ano, I am from Nardo, Vesirili, and I hold Shuma Hadarli Oilam, that even though Bezdin seized it on behalf of the Malva, if the Loiva comes to pay back, it's Shuma's Hadar, he can get back his possession, not only for 12 months, but he can get it Lo'oilam back. V'hilchsa Locha is, says the Gemara, Shuma Hadar Lo'oilam, that the seizure could be nullified forever, Mishum Shenem, because the pasuk says, Vasisa Yosher Vatoiv, you should do that which is straight and just and good. And in this case, of course, a person would like to have back his own personal possession. And therefore, if he does come up with the cash, La'oilam, we take back the possession from the Malva, we give it back to the Loiva, once the Loiva comes with the cash and is able to pay the Malva. Says the Gemara Pshit, it is Pashit, that Shamu Leila Bal Choiv, if they assessed and they seized for one Bal Choiv, V'ozaliyu, and that Bal Choiv number one went, V'shamu Leila Bal Choiv today, he owed money to another Bal Choiv. And now the second Bal Choiv, through Bezdin, was able to seize it from the first Bal Choiv. What happens if the first Bal Choiv comes to the second Bal Choiv and says, I have money now, I would like to get that back. I'm reading lay, so Bezdin says to the second Bal Choiv, Loi Adif At, you are not better, Mi Gavr Dasa Minoi, you don't have a bigger koyach than the person that you are coming from. What would the din be by the first bachoiv if the loive comes to them with money? So we learned that the hilchus is shuma hadru la'olam because of asisa yashar hatoiv. So just like bachoiv number one has a chiv of asisa yashar hatoiv to return the property to the loive once he's paid up, so too the second bachoiv, if the first bachoiv comes up with cash, you have a chiv because of asisra yashar hatoiv to return the property to him. However, if the first bachoiv sold it, or urtai, he was moirishit, or viyav matana, he gave it away with matana, so vadai, then it is definite that hani, all of these three cases, mikara, originally, adat adar nachas, they went down to this property in order to get the property. Velava dai to the zuzi nachas, they didn't go down to get money. In the case of a loiv and a malva, so really the malva lent money, he wants to get money back. It, absent money, so then he took property. Once the loiva comes up with the money, we say shuma hadru loilam, because his main goal originally was to get money. Now you got the money. The loiva was late in giving you the money, but eventually you got what you wanted. However, once that malva sold it to someone else or gave it away by matana or was moirishit, nobody can come over and say, oh, I have money now. The original loiva can't come and say, I have money, give it to me back. Once it was sold or given to matana or in Yerusha, those people definitely did not accept it because they wanted money, but rather they wanted the land. And once they accepted it as land and not as a tashlumen instead of money, you can no longer offer them money to get it back. Now, what about in the following case? Shamalola Isha. They seized it for a woman. In other words, the woman was a malva, and she had lent money to someone else, and the loiva was not able to pay. So Bezdin seized it for her. Ve'insivit. Then she got married. Oi, shamu mina de Isha. Or she was the loiva, and she had to pay a malva. She had no money to pay, so Bezdin assessed her property and paid her malva, and then the insiva. Then she got married. Umesa, and she died. So the din is, Baal b'nechse ishta lokeach havi. A Baal is considered like a lokeach, and therefore, in the case where the woman was the malva, loy mehader, he does not have to give it back. Since he has a din of a lokeach, if his wife's loyve eventually comes up with the money and comes to him once his wife has died and wants to give him money to get back the property, the status of the husband is one of a lekeach. And therefore he does not have to give it back. Like we learned before, once somebody gets it as a buying or a matana or yerusha, he wants the karka, and then there's no way that the original loiva can get it back from him. As Rashi explains, not only would this then apply by Nichsei Tsoin Barzel, where the husband is considered a lekeach in his wife's property, but even in Nichsei Meluk, where during the lifetime of the wife, she owns the property and he eats the peiros. So really, Me'ikra Din, he has a din of a yoirish. Once his wife dies, then he yarshins the keren, the property from his wife, as a yoresh. But the chachamim, as we're soon going to learn, in Usha, gave the husband a status of a lekeach. It is as if there was a tnai between the husband and the wife that once the wife dies, the husband retroactively was considered a lekeach on the guf hakarka, and he's lekeach number one. And therefore, in our case over here, the loiva cannot come to him. There's no halacha of asisa yashar hatoiv. Give me back my property. The husband received it as a lekeach, and there's no chiyuv, as we just learned before, of asisa yashar hatoiv. But also v'loy madrina lei. If his wife was the loiva and she gave up the property, the husband cannot come to her malva and say, give it back to me, as Tosfos in Divrei Maaser LeKeach Havi explains in the middle of Tosfos, that if he would have a din of a Yoirish, so then we learned, then the din would be Madrinale. We would have to give it back to him because Haben Poyed the Karka Shalavim. The son can be Poyed the Karka of his father. So if he would have a din of a Yoirish, he could be Poyed the land that he's Yarshening from his wife. But since we gave him a din of a LeKeach, therefore when he comes to the Malva and says that I want to get back the property that my wife had to give you when she was alive, the Malva can say to him, but what's your status? Your status is a Lekeach. So Lav Baldvorm Didiyad, I have nothing to do with you. As opposed to if you would have a din of a Yoirish, then just like a son can be poyed to his father's field, so the husband as a Yoirish could be poyed to his wife's field. Where do we find that a husband has a din of a loikeyach? Be'usha iskinu and usha they were misakin. As the bottom Rashi tells us, that the Sanhedrin, when they went into Golos from Yerushalayim, they went through 10 masois, and one of them was from Yavne to Usha. And when they came to Usha, they made certain takonis, and one of the takonis they made in Usha, we're familiar with the one, Hamavazbez, Al Yavazbez, Yaisumi Chaimish, a person should not give more than a fifth of his value to tzedakah. But another takana was, Be'ushi Eskinu, Ha'isha Shemachor, B'nichse Melug, B'chai Ba'ala, that if a wife sold Nichse Melug at the lifetime of her husband, Umesa, and she died, the din is, Ha'bal Moitzmi al Lekuchos, the Baal can take it away from the Lekuchos to whom she sold it. If the Baal would have a din of a Yairish, he would not be able to take it away from the people that his wife sold to, because she, when she sold it, she had a right to sell it. She owned this property. He's only supposed to get it as a yorish after her death. When she died, she didn't have it anymore. It was already sold b'chayel while she was alive. But since we give him a status of a lekeach, and that status is from day one when he got married to her, her properties, the Nichse Melug, he has a din of a Lekeach. He's a Lekeach Rishon, so any fields that she sold to a Lekeach, that Lekeach has a din of a Lekeach Sheni, and therefore he, being the Lekeach Rishon, the husband, can be Moitzi it from the Lekuchos. Continues the Gemara on Lamed Hamed Beis. What happens if Agbe'iu B'choivoi? We learned before that if Bezdin forced the Loive Shuma, they seized it, they assessed it and seized it to pay up the Choiv of the Malva, so then Shuma Hadu Loilam we paskin. But what happens if Bezdin didn't have to force the Loive, but rather he did it on his own? So, and later he comes and he has money and he says, I would like to get my property back. One says that in this case it would also be Hadra, just like when Bezin forces the Loiva to give up the property to the Malva. Even in this case also, it would go back. And one says it would not go back. Explains the Gemara. Mandi Amr Loi Hadra, the one who says that it does not go back. Sover, he's of the opinion, Haizvini Malyahi. This is considered like a sale. The Hamidai to the Nafshi Agve. It wasn't a Shuma. It wasn't a seizure by Bezin. He gave it up willingly. If he gave it up willingly, just like we learned by a Lekeach, by a Matana, by Yerusha, in all these cases, they want the land, and therefore there is no din of Shuma Hadar. So to here, where the Loiva gave it up willingly, you cannot say that later he has the right to take it back. Umandi Omar Hadra, the one who says that it is able to be returned to the Loiva, Sover, Loizvinam Alyahu, it's not considered like a regular Mecher. You're going to tell me, so why did he give it up willingly and not come to din? There is a reason for that. He knew that if he wouldn't give it up willingly, Bezin would force him to give it up to pay his debt to the Malva. And then he would be embarrassed. He didn't want to go through that forced embarrassment. So that's why he willingly gave it up. But he didn't really want to. He was forced into it because he didn't want to get embarrassed. And therefore, we don't consider it like a real mecher. And therefore, it does have the regular din of a loiva who is forced to pay something to the malva, that when the loiva comes up with the cash, shuma hader lo'olam, he can always get it back. Now, ask the Gemara in a case where Bezdin forced the loiva to give it to the malva, me'emes or ochel peri, from what time on can the malva start eating the peris? And here we have a three-way machlokes. Rava omar michimach adrachta liyadi. As Rashi explains, an adrachta is a star. 90 days after the Psak Bezdin, that the loiva has to give this property up to the malva. So Bezdin writes an adrachta, a star Psak Din, that wherever you find in the chosim of the loiva, you can take them to pay for his debt, and they give him this shtar, but that takes 90 days. After those 90 days, he can begin to eat the peiros. Abaya Amar, earlier, Eidav Bechsumen Zachlai. We don't have to wait until this shtar adrachta comes into the hands of the malva, but the Eidim, when they sign on the shtar adrachta, they're already zoicha for him, even though he didn't yet get it, and from that day on, he can already eat the peiros. Rava Amar Rava says a third time, from when the days of the announcement take place, as Rashi explains from the Gemara in Erech and Daf Chof Alfam Beis, that the Malva doesn't get it right away, but rather Bezdin makes an auction. They say that this property is going to be auctioned. They want to get the most money that they can get from the field on behalf of the Loiva. So if the Malva's bid is the highest bid, he'll get that property. But he first has to go through the period of time that it takes to make this public announcement, the public auction, and then if his bid is higher from any other bid, he gets the property, and as soon as those days of public announcement and auction are completed, then he is able to eat the peiros. And now we are ready to begin the next Mishnah. Just like the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis told us that the Shomer Chinam by swearing and by paying and not swearing was zoicha to the kefil, so he earned something, he was marvich something by paying, so too the Mishnah tells us here that the shomer in certain circumstances can come out that he is making a revach in this transaction. Begins the Mishnah, hasoicha por michaveroi, if somebody rents a por from his friend. And we know that the halacha is that a soicher is potter on oinsen. If it was mesa kedarko, the soicher would be potter. A shoyel would be chayiv. We also know that a soicher is different than a shomer chidim and a shomer socher, that they, if they're shaleach yad, if they use it for their own purposes, they are chayiv in any oinsen. However, a soicher has the rishus for the baal to use it for his purposes, and he can even lend it to somebody else. And that's exactly what happened here in the Mishnah. He lent it to someone else. And when it was by the Shoyel, Umeisa Kedarka, it died natural causes. So the halacha is, Yishova HaSoicher Shemeisa Kedarka. The Soicher has to swear to the Maskir that it died a natural death. The HaShoyel Yisham LeSoicher. And the halacha is, that according to the Tanakhama, that the Shoyel pays to the Soicher. And we'll see further what the Svor of the Tanakhama is. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Keitzad Halo Oisus Chayru Parash Tchaveri. It'll come out, according to you, to Tanakhama, that the soicher is doing business with the poorer of his friend. If there's any profit to be made here, if there's any tashlumen, it should be done to the owner, the masker. Ella tachser poorer labailim. You have to return the shavius, the value of the poorer. You have to give it back to the original bailim. The Rosh and the Tosfos Shanz explain the Sfora of Rabbi Yossi that the Soicher, in the case of our Mishnah, is considered to be a Shliach of the Maskir, and the Shoyel thus becomes a Shomer, not for the Soicher, but rather for the Maskir. And the Stipler in the Kehillas Yaakov explains that this happens even if there is no Kavana on behalf of the soicher to be a shliach of the maskir, but anyone who's involved in the shmirah for the maskir, as the soicher is, automatically, if he lends it to somebody else, and that person becomes a shomer, now to whom does he become a shomer? he becomes a shomer to the original owner, the maskir, and therefore, if it's Mesa Kedarka, the shoyal has to pay to the maskir and not to the soicher. However, Tosfos and Divrei HaMashal Tachzir Parla Bailim HaRishonim learns differently, and Tosfos learns that the svor of the Tanakama and Rab Yossi we will see in the Shakla V'Tarya of the Gemara. Although the Shakla V'Tarya of the Gemara does not mention that the svors there are the machloikis of the Tanakama and Rab Yossi, Tosfos says that this, in fact, is going to be what the Hesber in the machlokis is. Amrlei Rav Adi Bar Avin LaBaye. Rav Adi Bar Avin asked the Baya a question on the svor of the Tanakama, Michti. Soicher b'maikoni lahai pora b'shvua. How is the soicher koina this pora? By the shvua. This shvua frees him from his obligation by saying that it's Mesa Kedarka. He is now potter to pay the maskir. That's how he's koina the pora in terms of tashlumen from the shoyal to him. V'neim le maskir le soicher. Let the maskir say to the soicher, dal ant v'dal shvuasach. I don't need you. And I don't need Yeshua. Va'anam mishtaina dina bahari shoyal. I will take up the din. I will litigate the din directly with the shoyal. Don't swear to me. I don't need you. I don't need Yeshua. And this, in fact, as Tosfos learns, is the svara of Rabbi Yossi. And that's why Rabbi Yossi said, Tachzir pora labailam. The shavis of the pora has to go back to the bailam. Omar Le, so Abaya responded, Mi Savrat Soicher B'Shvua Hudakani La. Do you think that the Soicher is kind of with a Shvua? No, Mi Shas Misa Hudakani. He's kind of from Shas Misa. The Metzias, the fact that the Pora died, that automatically makes it Kanui to the Soicher because he is Potter by Mesa Kedarka. He has to swear. The Shvua is not what makes the Kenyan for him. In the tashlumen of the shoyal, ushvu kedei lahafiz dai to shvalabais. The shvu is merely to placate, to appease the balabais, as Rashi explains that the balabais should not say that you were peshay in it. If you would be peshay, then in fact the chiyuvim, the tashlum would come to me. So you have to swear that you're not peshay. But once he swears that, then from the moment that it died, it automatically became his through the act of misa, which he in fact is Pateron. And Tosfos goes on to say that according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that the masker can say dal ant v'dal shuasach, who adin if the soicher says that I have edim that it was Meisike Darka, where he would not need to swear. But the masker can still say to the soicher, you have to bring those edim to prove your point. Dal ant v'dal edim. I don't need you. I don't need your edim. I'm pottering you from bringing me the edim. And again, I will deal directly with the shoyal, and he will pay to me. So according to Tosfos, this Shakla V'Tarya here in the Gemara, in fact, reflects the svaras of both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Continues the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Zeira. Based on our Mishnah, Pum Shabal Mishalman Kama Porsel Soicher, it could come out that the Bailam would pay a number of porois to the Soicher. How could it be that the Bailam themselves, in ours, the Maschir, would have to pay porois to the Soicher? Not only one, but a number. Hechidami, the following case. Agra Minei Mei Yoimi. The Soicher rented it for 100 days. Vahadur Shaila Minei Tishin Yoimi. And then the Balabayis borrowed it back, as Rashi says, the Lashon Asei Mitoiva. He came to the Soicher and he says, do me a favor and lend it back to me, the owner, for 90 days. So Tosfos says that if something would happen in Divrei HaMashal Agra Kuf Yom Vishal Tzadik Yoim, if something would happen right then and there, and the cow would die a natural death, so then there would be a chiyuv of the owner, who now has become the shoyal, to return a cow to the soicher. As Rashi says, the Lashon of Rashi, in the long Rashi here, Divrei HaMashal, Ketzad, says Rashi, Mali Balim, Mali Acher. What's the difference if it's another shoyal, or if the Bailam themselves are the shoyal? The fact is, he rented it to the soicher. And now he turns around and says, I want you to lend it to me. So I become the shoyal. So just like another shoyal would have a chiv to pay the soicher according to the Tanakama, so too the Bailam themselves has to return
a cow to replace the cow that died. Plus, he will have to give another cow in order to fulfill the last 10 days of Schiris, because he had rented it to him for 100 days. He borrowed it for 90. Einich and Ami Tosfos speaks out that had he borrowed it for 100 days, then all he has to return is one cow. The She'elah of 100 days overtakes the original Schiris of 100 days. If something happened to the cow, then he has a chiv to return a cow. But now that he only borrowed it for 90 days, so he had a chiv to supply a cow for the 10 days of Schiris. So now, if we would stop the action right now, we would have a chiv of two cows. But the story goes on. Then the original soicher rented it back from the balabos, who now was the shoyul, for 80 days. And then the balabos, who had become a shoyul, and he became a maskir, and now he's becoming a second time a shoyl again. And in those last 70 days, the cow died. So the halacha is, according to Rab Zeira, da kol shaila v'shaila mechayv chada parah. Since there is two tviyas here, as Rashi explains, if the cow would be alive, then he would return the cow, and all he would have to give him would be a cow to work for 20 days. There's 20 days from 90 to 100, and then there's 10 days there, and then there's another 10 days from 70 to 80, according to the deal, according to the story that we just learned. However, he's not returning the cow, so he has to fulfill each tviya. There's one shaila that you didn't return a cow, you owe me a cow. There's a schiris of 10 days for that original shaila, another schiris, you owe me 10 days. Then there was a second shayla, you owe me for that shayla if you didn't return the cow. There's another 10 days from 70 to 80 of schiris, so you owe me a cow for that one. Einich and Ami says to Nachlas Moshe that he won't have to give him four cows here. All he'll have to do is give him three cows, two for the shaylois, the tvius on the shayla, and he'll have to give him one cow that will work for 20 days. He doesn't have to give him one cow for 10 days and another cow for 10 days. He could, but he could do it practically, give him a third cow for 20 days, and then he's yoytza all his chiyuvim. So based on the halach of the Tanakam and our Mishnah, that's what Rav Zeira says would happen in this case, where the Bailim themselves became the shoyl. Amalei Rav Acha Midifti, Rav Acha Midifti disagreed, and he said to Ravina Michti, Chadaparahi, we're talking about one cow here. Ilevafka, this cow, the same cow, went in and out from one state to another. Afka Mischiris went out from the state of Schiris v'ayla l'shela, and went into a state of Shela. Then Afka Mishela went out of Shela v'ayla Schiris. So as the Nachlas Moshe explains what Rav Acha Midifti is saying, is that Einich and Ami, if there would be two separate people, two shayalim, then I can understand that there would be two chiyuvim, there would be a chiyuv to pay two cows. Each shayal would have to pay one cow if he didn't return that cow. But since over here we're speaking about the same shayal, the same mashal, the same cow, so the das b'nei adam is that if I borrow it from you again, I am going back to the original chiv. I'm not making a new commitment that you should have a new tvi on me. It's all one act of shaila, and you have one tvi on me. Give me a cow. I didn't give you a cow back. I have to give you a different cow. But I don't have two chiyuvim. The way Rashi learns the sugya, which we'll learn the way Rashi learns, then we'll see the way the Shita learns, that the Rav Acha Midifti holds, you said, Rav Zeira, three cows, two for the shaylas and one for the schiras for 20 days. And I disagree. I say that it's all one, and therefore there's one cow for shayla and another cow for the schiras of 20 days. Amarlei. So he responded, Ravina responded to Rav Acha Midifti, Umi issa lepar be'ena d'neim lehachi. Is the para here that you could say such a thing? If the para would be here, as we explained before, you'd return the para for the shaila, and you would have to give him a para for 20 days.
That's what it'd be if the original poor would be alive, but the original poor is not alive. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to make payment on tefias. There happens to be two tefias here. Two tefias for Shayla, you have to give two separate cows. There's two tefias for Schiris, you have to give one cow for 20 days. Mar Bravashi, according to Rashi, Mar Bravashi is of the same opinion as Rav Achami Difti, and you'll find this in the third wide line at the bottom of the Amud, where Rashi in the middle of the line says, Beferish, Mar Bravashi, Svile Askafta de Rav Achami Difti. Like Rav Achami Difti's question, that's exactly what Mar Bravashi holds. He holds, Ein Lo Yalein Elishtei Parois, Chadu de Shaila v'chadu de Schiris, all that he can collect from the Balabas who became a Shoyal, is two cows, one cow for the Shaila, and a separate cow for the Schiris, exactly as Rav Achami Difti said, because the Das B'nai Yodim on the same cow, with the same Shoyal, the same Mashal, it's all one Tviya, and one goes on top of the other. One relates back to the original Shaila. It's not a new Tviyas Mammon. Shum Shaila Achasi, v'shum Schiris Achasi. We combine the Shaila into one, and the Schiris into one cow. The Shaila Koni Lagamri. The Shaila Para that he's going to have to return, that the Seicher is kind of completely, according to the sheet of the Tanakam and the Mishnah. The Schiris, for the Schiris, Avid Ba Yemei Schir Teo, he makes 20 days of Schiris, which he owes him, Umahadur Leila Mor, and he gives it back to the owner. That one is only temporary. That one he can't keep, but he could just use that second one to do the Yemei Schiris. That's how Rashi learns the sugya. The Shita Megabetza says that actually we have three Shitas in the sugya. According to Rashi, we had Rav Zeira who said you have to pay three poros, two for the Shaila and one for the 20 days of Schiris. And according to Rav Achami Difti and Mar Bravashi, they are of one opinion that you have to give back two cows. However, according to the Shita, there's actually three opinions here. Rav Zeira holds three cows. Mar Bravashi holds two cows, that's Klor. He says that. However, Rav Achami Difti, according to the Shita, means to say that all you have to do is give back one cow. Because the one cow, I don't look at it begetter tashlumen, that I'm making payments here on Tvias, and that therefore you just have to make one payment on a Shaila and one payment for the Schiris, but rather, according to Rav Achami Difti, the cow I return to you is a replacement for the cow that you lost, that was Mesa Kedarka. It's a replacement. So if I replace the cow, if I consider it as if it is the original cow, then let's say there wouldn't have been a Mesa Kedarka. It would have been Ben, and you would be returning it. So what would the halacha be? That you give him back the cow, and you don't have any problem with Shaila. You gave back the original cow. The only thing is, I owe you 10 days from 90 to 100, and I owe you 10 days from 70 to 80. So that same cow, you still have from me a commitment to use it for a rental for 20 days. So I don't even have to give you a second cow. I consider this cow as a replacement cow. And if it's a replacement, it's as if the original one was still alive. If the original one's still alive, I have to return it to you. And then you get 20 days out of it as far as Schiris is concerned. And that's exactly what happens with the replacement. So according to Rav Achami Difti, all you have to give back is one cow. You don't even have to give back two separate cows. So according to the Shita Megabetzes, we have three Shitas. Rav Zeira holds three cows, Mar Bravashi holds two cows, and Rav Achami Difti holds you only have to give back one cow.